there is, you know, incredible academic preparation happening here, incredible spiritual preparation and maturation and growth happening here.
My success stories have really just been one after another. They're successful to me because I love to see people's lives change.
It was a remarkable experience.
Hello and welcome to Latter-day Profiles. I'm Brian Howard. We're here on the campus of Brigham Young, University of Idaho, and joining me today from BYU Hawaii is the new president of BYU Hawaii, Kione Kawe. So nice to have you.
Hey, it's good to see you.
I feel so overdressed for the occasion, but that's awesome. So glad to be chatting with you. We're doing this in February, actually, although it'll air a little bit later in the year. And of course, we're here in Rexburg just with a fresh snowfall, and we're just being jealous, but so glad to have you here. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit as you've been president just since July of 2020. And in this era of COVID, what a crazy time to become president.
Absolutely.
what's it been like so far? I'm sure it's been a whirlwind for you.
It definitely has. And it's been, you know, there's a lot of complexity to jumping into this position right now. And as you mentioned, in these circumstances, at the same time, I mean, the love and support and excitement that we have as a university and as a community around the future of the university and our success in this role as president, it's so overwhelming and so positive that we feel really good about even navigating the challenges we have right now.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about your background. You got a fascinating background. So you grew up, split some time in Orem and Hawaii, and graduated from high school in Hawaii. Tell us a little bit about your life growing up. What was that like? And it sounds like an adventure.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, I moved back and forth between Utah and Hawaii several times growing up. And it really was a reflection of my dad's desire for us to understand and love our Hawaiian heritage. And his desire to be home. He loved Utah and he loved the people there, but Hawaii was always home. And so we went back and forth a lot, and I'm really grateful for that. I think that it really helped me understand kind of the complexity of the different places and cultures and the opportunity that there is to exist within and between and among all of that.
Hmm. Yeah, I was just wondering, how important was that, you know, understanding our culture, our background is really important. How big a deal was that, you know, being able to be in Hawaii and also be with some of your like ancestry and know just where you came from?
Oh, coming back to BYU Hawaii and having that connection, you know, to kind of broadly to Hawaii and to our culture, but also very specifically to, you know, my direct ancestors who helped establish this place and built it and my many close and distant relatives that still live here, it's been a really big deal. And I think I actually underestimated how much it would mean to me and the people around me to have that connection be renewed.
Yeah, that's totally cool. An instant connection to the university and the people there, I think, as well. You were just a great student. You skipped a couple of grades, graduated from BYU at 19. What was it like going to school at such a young age? Did people notice at all when you're in class, a little bit younger? What was that experience like?
Yeah, so, you know, my parents are incredibly intelligent people, didn't graduate from college and really emphasized school, but none of it was by design, right? So I knew that I needed to be excellent, but we didn't have some plan for me to finish school early. Mm-hmm. It just happened. It happened because of some unique circumstances and because of high school administrators who were paying attention to me individually and cared about what happened to me. Jumping into BYU at age 16 was, you know, not as difficult for me as maybe it could have been. I really had great friends my freshman year and no, I didn't look younger than anybody else. And so it worked out pretty well. Most people didn't know any difference. I do remember sitting in an American Heritage class in the giant classroom. And the teacher wanted to kind of do a demographics activity. And so he asked, like, oh, if you're older than 25, stand up. And then he kept marching down kind of year by year. And then he said, if you're 17, stand up. And there were a handful of people that stood up. And then he said, oh, this is a long shot, but if you're 16, stand up. And I had no intention of standing up, none, right? But the girl, the woman that was sitting next to me, she was a friend of mine. She knew me and she said, oh, he's 16, and pointed me, and I stood up by myself in the American Heritage Auditorium and heard a whisper from behind me saying, I could have babysat him. So, there were moments where I did feel young and different, but for the most part, I jumped right in, and I struggled a little bit my first few semesters, right, understanding what was required of me and stepping up. And so I think there were some challenges because of my age, but it was also, pretty smooth because there are good people around me that that really helped me out.
Well, nowadays, so with the age change, you turn 19 and finished college, though, and you headed on a mission. You went to Japan, correct? What was that? Yes. What was that experience like for you?
I loved every minute of my mission. I served in Fukuoka, Japan, under President MacArthur and President Godfredson, both fantastic. I really loved every minute of being there. I had an incredible experience recently. I have been, I'm old enough that I don't have great social media connections to all of my mission people, right? All the wonderful families I met and people that I taught and that I worked hard with. But there's a few families I've been able to connect with and stay in touch with. And one of them invited me to a Zoom branch meeting. So just a few weeks ago, I was able to attend a sacrament meeting via Zoom in the first area that I served in my mission. Mm. And so many familiar faces, people that have stayed, faithful in the gospel and faithful to serving each other and representing the Lord in their community. And it was just overwhelming and made me just remember how much I love those people and how much I love Japan and how much I love that opportunity I had to serve a mission.
Did you have a plan when you got back, what you were going to do? What was your plan?
I did. Yeah. So I had my bachelor's degree. I turned 19 on April 10th. Got my mission call and on the same day as commencement when I received my my bachelor's degree.
It's a big day.
And then immediately upon returning from my mission, while I was out, I put in my application to do a master's degree in the biology department at BYU. So right after my mission, I jumped right in. I think I had about 2 weeks off between getting home and starting my master's program.
Wow.
So that was the plan right away. And during my time at BYU, I was fortunate to have a great mentor, Dennis Shiozawa, and I worked in his lab, and I saw his life and I saw the way that he studied things that he loved and that were exciting to him. And I saw how he was able to use his time and energy and resources to support students and build their the foundation for their future. And I thought, man, you can make a living doing this. That's what I want to do. And I had no concept of what a university professor really did, but seeing him and the happiness and satisfaction he had in what he did made me convinced that that was the path. So from the time I left on my mission, even before that, the senior year, in the last few semesters of BYU, I knew that I wanted to get a PhD and I wanted to be an academic scientist and teach and mentor students. Mm.
I'm going to ask you, somewhere in there, you met your wife, Monica. How'd that come about?
Yeah, so it's a really fun story, and I won't tell you the whole long version of it. But when I arrived in Provo, I was young, and I had a cousin who lived right there on Grandview Hill, right near BYU campus. And she and I are close and were good friends back then. And she was my age, which meant she was a sophomore, junior in high school. And I hung out with her and her friends, in addition to my college friends. And I got to know all of them, except Monica, somehow. I met all of them, but not Monica. And after I returned home from my mission, Monica was a good friend of my cousin's, and they were talking, and my cousin said, oh, you should go out on a date with Keone. He's back from his mission. And Monica said, who's that? And all the other friends were there, and they said, oh yeah, you remember Keone, right? Oh yeah, we remember Keone, but Monica and I had never met. So my cousin introduced us, and a few months later, there was a bit of a connection, but we were busy and things were going on. And a few months later, we bumped into each other at the 4th of July 10K race. I can't think of the Freedom Run.
Yeah, Freedom Festival, yeah.
And we talked before the start, and I waited for it to finish, and we reconnected, and then we dated dated while we trained for a marathon together.
Oh, cool.
So that was a lot of fun. And we ended up running the Top of Utah Marathon and then getting engaged a few months after that and married about a year after we connected at that race.
Oh, wow. Are you still runners today?
You know, age and injuries have taken their toll. We do a lot more weightlifting and walking and hiking than running these days. But we did run for several years together.
Yeah, good connection. So you went out and finished your PhD. How soon was it that you were back at BYU? Because at BYU had many opportunities to serve. You're a department chair. Briefly, Dean, not too long because they scooped you right up over at Hawaii. But how did you end up at in Provo at BYU?
Yeah, so I finished my PhD, and right as I finished my PhD, I was getting job offers at a variety of universities and organizations. And the chair of biology at BYU shot me an email and said, "Hey, we have a job opening that's coming up. You should definitely apply and see what happens." And I said, "You know, I'm just finished my PhD." He said, "Well, you know, we understand that, and there's no promises, but we'd love to see you apply." So I applied, and actually, you know, I had to turn down other offers before I had a formal offer from BYU, which is a fairly normal thing. You know, BYU's hiring process takes some time for good reason. And I ended up delaying everything else, accepting an offer from BYU and starting with a year delay. And did a year of postdoc at the Washington University School of Medicine before I actually came to BYU. And then coming to BYU, it was amazing. You know, I really felt like, despite all the other opportunities that I had, that the opportunity to teach and mentor while having the resources to do high quality scholarship was just what I wanted. Mm. Right. And so it was actually pretty shocking to feel, you know, when I actually had an offer from BYU, to feel like, you know, not too many years before I had thought, "Oh, I want to have a job like Dr. Shiozawa." And then suddenly I was in his department.
That's pretty
working
cool.
With him. And a year or two after I started, he was the chair of the department. So suddenly right there with him. And it was everything that I thought it would be. I absolutely loved my teaching, my mentoring, and my research, and things went really well.
We should mention, you know, the focus of your research has been focused around like genetics and Alzheimer's, correct? I guess just yes. a little brief, probably far too technical for most of us, but just gives a brief summary of what kind of research you do.
Yeah, I mean, so the overarching goal of my work is to solve the genetic risk for Alzheimer's disease so that we have better ideas for prevention and therapeutic intervention. And that's the short version of it. Some of the really fun things we've done in the lab is integrate unique resources that are present in Utah and actually present because of the church's emphasis on genealogical records, right? So we've taken some really rich data sets, one called the Cache County Study on Memory and Aging, that other scientists at the University of Utah and Utah State University have merged with called the Utah Population Database, which is the genealogical records from the church connected to state and healthcare provider medical records. And we've taken that resource and added in my genetics expertise and computational expertise from BYU to do some really exciting That's discovery awesome. Of new genes that influence risk and resilience to Alzheimer's disease and have led to important avenues of research for the entire field.
Yeah, well, it's got to feel really good to be able to actually make breakthroughs in areas like that that are really so needed and wanted.
Absolutely. It's fun. It's exciting. It's rewarding. And then, you know, on top of all of that, because of the success we've had in doing our own research, my students have been able to do, you know, the connections it's created and the opportunities that my students have had. It's been incredible to send students off to internships and graduate programs and medical schools where they know people, right? And they're known commodities and they have this shared research effort and collaboration effort that leads to those outcomes for them. It's been really fun to see that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I want to switch to the process of being asked to serve as president of BYU Hawaii. I think it's a pretty unique process. Tell us how that came about. Walk us through that.
I I wish I knew. So certainly, you know, I don't know everything about how that process works. I do know that you don't apply for the job. And I do know that I'm humbled and grateful to be here doing what I'm doing. Certainly, it begins with the commissioner of the church educational system, Elder Paul Johnson, and Elder Holland, you know, working on prayerfully thinking about the people who might have an opportunity and might be able to contribute. For me, what happened is essentially I was asked to sit down and chat with Elder Johnson about what I was doing at BYU and how things were going. And as part of that conversation, I sat down and had lunch with Elder Johnson and Elder Holland. And we had a really nice talk, mostly about my professional life and how I was enjoying my position as dean, and about Monica and the kids and our family and how we were doing. And then a few weeks later, I got an email or a phone call actually saying that Elder Holland and Elder Johnson would be down in Provo and they wanted to meet with Monica and I. And that conversation was, again, you know, really a fun and interesting personal conversation, but didn't mention any job or anything like that. But it made us think, right? You have sure. Two meetings with Elder Holland in a few week period, perhaps somebody's thinking about something. And it was actually after that meeting when Monica and I both started to really feel that, you know, something significant in the church educational system was coming, and that it was probably president of BYU Hawaii. And we had no reason to believe that or expect any timeline or anything, right? We just had great conversations with great leaders that we love and respect. And so we started this process of like, well, if it was BYU Hawaii, can we do this? Are we ready? Are we okay? How do we deal with our ailing parents that need us? And all the different things you think about if you consider moving. And we realized, yes, like we would do this. And we felt like we could, even though it would be challenging, and that we had this, we would view it as an incredible opportunity. But days went by and nothing happened. And we thought, well, maybe there was a short list for some wonderful, you know, CES position, and we were on it, but they went another direction. That's great. We love our life here. We love being close to family. We love BYU and the opportunity as Dean of Graduate Studies. And we love teaching, and we love our students, and research is going well. No problem. And a few more days went by and we didn't hear anything. And then I personally started thinking, what kind of arrogant person am I that I think that they would even consider us to be president of BYU Hawaii? Why were we even like, who was I kidding? Like, we're fine. We'll just do our thing. And it was the next morning that Monica and I both received emails from the office of the first presidency asking us to come and meet with President Nelson and his counselors, again, with no details as to why. But at that point, I think we had felt very clearly through the Spirit that this is what was coming, and we had prepared and we knew what we would answer. So we went up to the church office building, and we sat down with Elder Holland and Elder Johnson, President Nelson, President Oaks, President Eyring, and had a very, you know, wonderful, short to the point meeting where President Nelson offered us a job as president of BYU Hawaii. And he said, he offered that job, and then he said, you need some time to think about it. And I looked at Monica and she gave me the nod. And I looked back at him and I said, well, we already have, and we're happy to do it. And President Nelson chuckled and said, the Spirit doesn't always let us keep secrets. And we laughed. And then, you know, in that room, you know, half of the people in that room had been presidents of a university before. Yeah. They were kind enough to give us some really encouraging words and express their confidence that we were capable and that we were prepared and that the Lord really wanted us to do this. And they made it very clear that it was something that Monica and I both had an important role in. And they also made it clear to us that success would be measured by faith, hope, charity, and love, and that we should be seeking to lead in ways that encourage our students and our employees, you know, to have Christ-like characteristics at the center of their life. And so One thing they also mentioned is that they would love for us, if we can, to continue my Alzheimer's disease and other research programs. And so we've continued to follow that as well. So that's probably, I don't know if that's more than you wanted to hear. That's the compressed version. It's a great story.
It
was an incredible experience and very, very humbling. I mean, that's really the word that I use most frequently when I think about the process and this opportunity. So many wonderful people here and such an incredible and prophetic legacy associated with this university, and to be entrusted to represent that and to carry it forward. It's truly an honor, and it really is humbling.
No, yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. We only have a couple of minutes left, but I want to talk to you about, ask you about BYU Hawaii. You know, people who may not be that familiar, we know, everyone knows we have a university there on the island. But what are maybe a couple of things that you would like people to know about BYU Hawaii?
Yeah, I would love for you to know that, yes, we are in a beautiful place. And yes, we have one of the most diverse and incredible student bodies of any university in the country, much less within the church educational system. But this university is so much more than its demographics and its location. There is, you know, incredible academic preparation happening here, incredible spiritual preparation and maturation and growth happening here. And I think most importantly, that's happening in a setting of, you know, incredible diversity of culture and way of thinking and approaches to life that really prepares our students in unique ways to succeed in a world where that's increasingly important to emphasize. So I really want people to understand this is not an afterthought of the church educational system. This is a important and unique place where students can be educated in ways that really, I believe, no other university on the planet, even in the church educational system, can provide.
Do you have any specific or goals or initiatives that you're, you know, as you're coming in and say, these are some things I'd really like to accomplish?
I mean, certainly the foremost goal is to follow the direction of the living prophet and of the modern prophets who've established this place and ensure that we align with the mission and aims of the university. So trying to find ways to increase the spiritual growth that our students experience while they're here, to encourage our students to take ownership of that spiritual growth and make it an intentional part of the university experience. So that's a really high priority. In terms of academics, I mean, we really would love to see more access. So we're looking at ways to integrate technology and to be innovative to ensure that more students have the the incredible and unique opportunity that this university provides. And so I'd say those are key efforts, but certainly this is the kind of conversation that if you get me started, it's going to be 5 or 6 hours before you're done hearing what we've planned and what we're trying to do. And it's all students. It's all about our students. They are incredible. And we're trying to find ways to serve them better, to give them, you know, a more efficient experience, a more beneficial experience, and to provide that experience to more students.
Well, we'll make a plan to follow up, President, in a year or so and see how things are going. But as we wrap up, just on a personal note, as you discuss this with your wife and your family, give us a little feel of their excitement and your excitement about being able to be there at BYU Hawaii. I'm sure your family had a lot to fill and share when you shared that with me.
Absolutely. So moving is hard on kids, and we have 5 kids, ages 14 to 2. Well, I guess 3 now, 14 to 3. And so some of them, had their first reaction was, but I'm going to miss my grandparents. I'm going to miss my cousins. I'm going to miss my friends. School will be different. Those normal reactions. Certainly COVID softened that blow for us, right?
Yeah, right.
We'd already become isolated from a lot of those things and a lot of those people. But being here, we have, again, just repeating, we have felt so much love and support, and that extends to Monica and the kids. And as they have been able to embrace their, relationships with family that they saw previously, but not as often, and with family history, and with cultural practices that they now can encounter much more often and much more in depth, it really has enriched their lives and our lives. And we're very, very happy. And if you ask me, if you pull my 14-year-old aside and say, how do you feel about the move? say, I love it. I'm glad we're here. And that's how our whole family feels, just so excited and grateful to be given this opportunity to work and serve here in Bayou.
Well, very lucky to have you. It's President Keone Kawe, President of BYU Hawaii. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for taking some time. And hopefully we can, if we can ever help you escape meetings, we'll be happy to talk with you again, President. So thank you very much.
Anytime. I really appreciate it. It's been wonderful. Thanks,
President.